Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. Doc and I are tackling episode number 19 of Smoky Mountain from June the 6th of 1992. Doc, we are in a new venue this week. We're in the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Doc, how's your week been going, man? You gave me a lot of trouble last week when I said I didn't ask you how you were doing. So how you doing, Pumpkin? You having a good week?
Well,
a couple of eight balls with Mullen and Morton.
I wish. I'm still a little tuckered out from the volunteer slam, so I'm hoping that some Smoky Mountain this week will get me going. But I've been tired all week since our last episode.
Tuckered out, huh?
Tuckered out, man. That was good.
Pussy.
I gave out a lot of disability checks too. You know, that's not like me. I like to be tight with my money.
You did. You gave out 7.8, I think it was, last week, and then you were actually very very complimentary on the Government Chiefs Award. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Smoky Mountain's starting to get hot, bruh.
Yeah, it really is, man. It's taking off. So
remember a while back when we showed it to Harper for the first time?
Yeah, he was like, bruh, everybody got a fucking mullet, man. That primetime Brian Lee guy, his mullet's down to his ass crack. He's like, who's that fucking guy that comes out to Garth Brooks? I'm like, bro, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till that son of a bitch actually sings to him.
How come Harper acted like he ain't ever seen Southern wrestling before?
I don't know. Well, it's not that. It's just that, you know, that's 1992. We're in 2016. You know, we recorded this December 16th of 2016. And, yeah, you know, I mean, that's a long time ago. That's 24 years ago. So a man can kind of forget the effects that a mullet could have on you. I mean, you know, think about those times, man. Smoky Mountain Wrestling during that time. You had mullets. You had stonewashed jeans and you had t-shirts tucked in and fanny packs. Well, fuck, you still got fanny packs when it comes to wrestling, though.
Was Zubaz into the scene yet then?
Yeah, Zubaz was pretty damn was into it. Yeah, if you remember, there were some people who ran in during the end of the Volunteer Slam who had some Zubaz on, or Zubaz, as I call them.
Did you ever have some Zubaz?
I don't remember if I had any Zubaz.
That's a yes.
I don't remember. I really don't. I couldn't tell you if I had a pair of them or not. Whatever. Let's kick things off. We're at Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium, Spartanburg, South Carolina. Dutch and Bob Cottle runs through the list of matches upcoming in this hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling TV, which today has a main event of Paul Orndorff versus Dixie Dynamite. Cottle throws it to Dutch, and Dutch says that our great commissioner, Bullet Bob, was very upset at Mr. Wonderful's actions at the Volunteer Slam. Dutch claims that Bullet Bob has attempted to suspend Paul Orndorff due to his actions at the Slam. Dutch wraps up what he's saying, and as he's wrapping up what he's saying, Barry Horowitz enters the desk area, which Bob Cottle promptly places the mic in his face. Horowitz tells Bob Cottle he is only going to talk to Dutch since Dutch is the wrestler and not a stupid journalist like Bob Cottle is. Horowitz goes on to say that he's here to tell and show everyone that he's not a loser. Dutch tells Horowitz he's going to be wrestling primetime Brian Lee today, as a matter of fact. And it's happening right now as they take us to the ring. Doc, your thoughts before we move to the match.
I like the idea of having guys that are further down the card like Horowitz get a little bit of time on the mic. It, you know, the idea here is that, especially in a territory where you're booking on the fly, people come and go, they get better paying gigs in Japan or whatever, you got to have a stable of guys that can go and that people are familiar with so that you're always kind of flexible. So I think that's a good move.
I do too. And while there were a lot of people coming and going, you got to admit, Cornette's, they're pretty stable, actually. As stable as a small up-and-coming promotion can be with their talent at this point. To me, they are. But I like Horowitz getting a little airtime here. I mean, he deserved it. You know, I mean, he was my number one most underrated guy ever. So when we did that months ago at this point. God, that was in the summer of 2016. Shit. So we go to the match. It's primetime Brian Lee again versus Barry Horowitz. And before I comment on anything else, is this the first time primetime Brian Lee has come to the ring with those chaps on, Doc?
Well, I don't normally sit around and notice when men are wearing chaps like you do. I was more confused about why this would be non-title, but
I didn't even catch that. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Okay. I missed that.
They mentioned it all through the match of like, well, if he could win, and they're like, well, no, he wouldn't win the title. No, he'd be a contender.
Okay.
I thought maybe that after winning the strap, Primetime Berlin went out and treated himself to a nice pair of chaps. Win the strap, buy some chaps.
I guess so. Well, just a random thought here.
Didn't you go buy some chaps when you won that brass knucks title?
No, I went and bought a bunch of bitches and laid and decided to do some plumbing, asshole.
Really?
Yeah, it was the only time I did what Mullet and Morton did. You know, go get some ring rats and an 8-ball.
Really?
You're a fucking idiot sometimes. Just a random thought as we get into this match. There's a guy with a GWF t-shirt in the front row that's facing the hard camera. Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention because it did catch me. GWF, the Global Wrestling Federation out of the Sportatorium. The match gets started. Primetime Brian Lee throws a crazy good looking drop kick with some major height. Primetime Brian Lee has the upper hand in the match when Dutch gives us one of his world famous zingers on commentary. Barry makes a mistake as Primetime Brian Lee outsmarts Horowitz. Dutch says about PBL, if PBL's IQ goes any lower, they'd have to water him 3 times per day. That was a great one. Horowitz starts getting a good bit of offense, but then Primetime Brian Lee catches Horowitz going to the top in the corner. He knocks Horowitz down, where Horowitz takes a crotch shot from the ropes. From here, Primetime Brian Lee never relinquishes control of the match and soon after puts Horowitz in his finisher, the cancellation, gets the 1-2-3 pin to retain his Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. Bob Cottle then throws us over to a video recap of Primetime Brian Lee winning the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title at the Slam. What are your thoughts here as we finish up that match, Doc, before I go any further?
I thought it was a good match. I don't like the champ opening the show.
I really didn't give two shits about it. I mean,
I'm sure he wouldn't.
The guy was doing a job to him. I mean, it wasn't like. You'd rather that be in the main event of the show?
Or at least, probably yes, but if not, in the second half of the show, yeah.
It's a 45-minute show with no commercials, dumbass.
I'm just, you know.
So you'd rather it at minute 22 and a half, then, is what you're saying?
At least past that, yeah.
Yeah, you did not think that casual idiotic thought through at all before you even made it.
I don't like the champ jerking the curtain on my show.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's a lot of things in wrestling that you don't like that actually make sense. So whatever.
Okay. All right.
Once they're done showing us this recap of Primetime's Brian Lee matches and winning the Volunteer Slam, we're back at the desk for a Primetime Brian Lee promo. Let me play it here, and then we'll get our thoughts. We'll get me and Doc's thoughts on it.
Well, fans, and that's just a small portion of what this young man went through to win this championship. And, Brian, right now you've got at least 2 scores to settle.
You know, Bob, 2 scores is an understatement. You know, every time I walk to the ring, it seems like Paul Orndorff or Dirty White Boy, you're on my back. You know, I can never wrestle one at a time. But I'll tell you one thing. No matter what it takes, where I go, or how far I have to go to do it, I will keep this belt. And when I won this belt, it was the longest night of my life. And I guarantee you one thing, Orndorff. You and White Boy, when you step in the ring, it's not more good games. You underestimated me before, but 6'8", 280 pounds, I'm not playing. So if I have to get dirty, Dirty White Boy, and if I have to get wonderful, Mr. Wonderful, that's just what I'm going to do because I'm going all the way to the top, and I'm going to keep this belt.
All right, fans, the young man always lives up to his word. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
Doc, I'll let you react first.
I thought that was a good promo. I have one small nit with it, which will probably make you mad again because you don't like it when I break this stuff down all the way. But he said, I'm going all the way to the top.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Bro, you're the champ. You're at the top.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But other than that, and that's a small nit, Primetime's back up on it. He's puffed, but he's grown, man. He's 6'8 this week, and he's feeling every bit of it because he's the champ. He's not slouching because he's the champ. I thought it was a good promo, and I think hopefully Primetime is clearly taking over the role as top babyface in the promotion.
That was a great that line was not good. You know, I'm going to the top. No, you're at the top, but we're overanalyzing that part too. The thing I want to take from this is, you know, we've been hard on Primetime Brian Lee for a while with his promos. I say hard, but look, I mean, he's not scripted. He's not over-scripted like they are in WWE now these days. So, yeah, we've been hard on him a little bit. But this is a good promo.
I don't know what you're talking about. I picked him to win the tournament.
No, what I'm saying is we've been hard on him in his promos from time to time, but I thought he really did a good job here. I did. You know, he made one mistake with going to the top. Yeah, you're already at the top. But he did save it because he said, I'm not planning on relinquishing this belt.
Yeah, yeah.
And today he's 6'8 and 280, so there we go. anything else before I move forward, Doc?
No, I'm good.
All right, so we then go to another segment. It's Bob Cottle and Dutch, and they're talking about this Meet the Stars thing, and Cottle tells us about it, and when the stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be attending different events that good Smoky Mountain fans can meet them at. I just said, meh, when I heard this segment. It's basically an autograph signing gimmick that they're going to be doing, but whatever. Tommy, go ahead.
Do you think in any way, because, you know, you've heard Corny talk about how he had to constantly lecture the locker room on, you got to bang the rats, you got to service the rats. Do you think this was him trying to figure out a way to jumpstart that?
The rat banging services in Smoky Mountain?
Right.
I wouldn't doubt it whatsoever. I mean, hey, you got to have ring rats. You got to have ring rats to service. So, yes, that may have been a way to jumpstart the ring rat servicing. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were some other things that came out of it. There were some ancillary things that came out of it. Like, I mean, you did get kids that could get invested in your baby faces and they could sign autographs and have a good time. So, yeah, I'm sure there was a lot to that. But, yeah, just as well, I'm sure there was plenty of ring rats. I think Brian Last has told us stories about, like, the rock and roll you know, at these signings before matches and how they were mixing it up with the girls and, you know, they were setting their appointments. I think it was, did Brian Last tell us that? I can't remember. We've heard the stories though of that. So yeah, I'm sure there was some of that in there, and I don't blame Cornette. If it's got a hole, it will be serviced by the rock and roll, Doc.
Of course.
Maybe something there. All right, let's go to the next segment, which is Tommy Angel versus the Dirty White Boy with Ron Wright. Before this match begins, I want to mention, is it just me, or does Dirty White Boy and Ryan Wright pop you at the beginning of every match when they shake hands before Dirty White Boy enters the ring? Do you notice that at all?
Well, partly, but it's like Dirty White Boy is the fine gentleman who makes sure that Ron Wright's all set up, like he's all good to go, and then he turns and flashes his tongue at the screen like he's flying a flag to all the rats to know that he's got skills. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that. I guess. All right, the match starts. Gets started with Tommy Angel throwing a drop kick and getting some offense on Dirty White Boy, which appears to only slightly aggravate the Dirty White Boy. Dutch tells us he's happy to see Mr. Ron Wright at ringside. Apparently, the results of the slam really hurt Ron Wright's heart, and Dutch was worried if Ron Wright's heart could handle today's match. And he's really, really concerned about this, just so you know.
We all should be.
Yeah, we all should be. Dutch says Ron Wright is showing his stamina and courage in showing up today after the slam. Bob Cottle made me laugh soon after when he says Dirty White Boy will certainly not be one of the stars at the Meet the Stars that they were just promoting last segment. So, yeah, I would.
You know what my note to that was?
What?
Why can't fans meet Dirty White Boy? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he's a fucking heel.
Right. And he's going to piss you off. And to the mom that, you know, was mad because Kevin Owens basically shit on your kid a few weeks ago, your 7-year-old kid at a WWE event a few weeks back, that's what heels fucking do. Okay? So, whatever. Get over it and go get a life. You know, for a match with Tommy Angel, this was a real short one. The offense and defense was basically 50%. I mean, it was a 50%, 50-50 match. But I say 50-50 match, not meaning 50-50 booking. It just was Angel loses, Dirty White Boy gets the win with his finish of the Bucksnore Blaster. But you know what I'm saying? He did the job, but he wasn't completely jobbing. At least that's the way I took it.
Well, and I also did notice in this match that Dutch asked a really serious, valid question when he wondered about the literacy rate in the Smoky Mountains.
Dutch is constantly bagging on the Smoky Mountains.
Well, and you noticed the rate of offense back and forth. Did you notice that Mark Curtis was not the referee for this match?
Now that you say that, I did. Hey, man, a man can't ref every single match all the time.
He does pretty soon.
I know, as I say that, he's about to be the only one. Yeah.
Right. Maybe he couldn't get off work at Foot Locker at that time.
Who knows? No, he was there because he does some of the other matches. Oh. Okay, now we get into what I think may be the gold of this week's episode, and that is we got a promo with Ron Wright, Dirty White Boy, Bob Cottle, and it's mixed in by some stuff with Primetime Brian Lee as well. So I'm going to hit this shit, and I'm just going to say this right now. In fucking joy it.
Let's go right now to Bob Cottle standing by with the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright.
All right, and fans here with me at ringside, they are, of course, Mr. Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. We've already had an opportunity to talk to Primetime Brian Lee, and I know he's heavy on your mind also.
Now, let me tell you something. I've never been so mad and disgusted. My heart's bothering me a little. I'm going to try not to get excited, but I have never seen anybody robbed in my life like my man got robbed in that slam over there the other night in them tournament matches. They robbed him. They gave him a three count, and it shouldn't have been but one count. And I'll tell you, there'd have been a lot more going on then, but it had my heart acting up. I had a light stroke, and the man had to get me out of there. It was the only reason that down. And I ought to tell you something else. You can inform Mr. Bob Armstrong that I'm filing a complaint and a grievance for compensation against him for having an employee of theirs, that referee, to rob me and my man like that and cause me to have this back set and stroke. They're probably keeping me in this wheelchair another year or two over the tactics and robbed on us the way they did over there in that match.
Well, Lee says you he's got a score right to settle with you.
This man doesn't lie. Brian Lee, you are the biggest crook, the biggest cheat that's ever walked the face of the earth. I'd like to know exactly how much you did pay those referees. Well, it don't matter because me and you meet up again. You horse-headed. You non-athlete. You nothing happening individual. You couldn't lace my boots. You couldn't eat. You don't even deserve to be in the same building with myself and Ron Wright. You understand me? Oh, look at horsehead himself.
I tell you what, Tony Anthony, Dirty White Boy, if you say I cheated you and Ron Wright, you're so upset, won't you get in the ring right now? Wait, you want to take that heavyweight belt?
My heart could stand it. I don't think my heart could stand you getting up there and whooping on him right now. We ain't got nothing to win, My heart's acting up on me so bad. I just don't know whether we could take care of it or not.
Okay.
I'm probably all right, but I don't know whether I could extend the excitement you going up there annihilating that man here today or not. I'm not recuperated from that stuff the other week.
Let me tell you something, horsehead. If this man wasn't sick right now, I'd be up there in a minute to beat your stinking brains out. But I got to take care of my manager. That's the only thing that's saving you.
You all right?
All right, fans. The story from Mr. Ron Wright, the Dirty White Boy. And you heard the challenge from Brian Lee. We'll be back. We'll have more.
God damn.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there.
Go ahead. Weigh in.
Okay, well, so he's going to be in the chair for another year or two. That seems like a very imprecise measure from the doctors, a year or two.
That's so great.
My note here was a light stroke seems kind of like being half pregnant. I don't think there is such a thing. You know, have you noticed that Ron Wright uses that there and not them, but them with a D? That there, them. I think that really helps with the everybody screwing me kind of angle that he throws up. He says again him.
He always says that again him. Yeah. Instead of against him.
Heart's acting up on me, which I'm sure is a medical diagnosis. Just really, really good stuff there. The Dirty White Boy then, you know, plays it off naturally when Primetime enters the scene. I got to just tell all you people out there, I'm just glad that we're finally covering this. For the past 3 weeks, all I've been getting is text messages from Menace here going, man, I can't wait till we do episode 19. That Ron Wright shit, I watched it again last night. I'm popping. My entire text log from him is about this promo for the past 3 weeks. So I'm going to be quiet now and let you just blow it, if you will.
Why? It's so great. I mean, he's had a setback. He had a slight stroke. He talks about how they wronged him. He's filing a grievance and complaint against him. Not against him. Against him. His his heart can't stand it. I can't stand the excitement of you going up there and whooping this man right now. This guy just tops it. He tops it constantly. It's like a repeated thing. Ron Wright, every single time, he just tops his promos. You know, we had on Bo James a few weeks back, and he told plenty of Ron Wright stories. I mean, just some great, great stuff. And this man, it's a shame that he was not more on a national stage and that we didn't get to see more of him. And I'm actually glad that, you know, one of the treasures of Cornette doing Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I would have no clue who Ron Wright is in the history of wrestling if not for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And that would be a bigger tragedy than anything related to the history of professional wrestling. Because there's not a lot of tape, there's not a lot of footage of Ron Wright, from what I understand, prior to Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You know what would be interesting? You know, we all have, it's a well-established fact in the BTT universe that you are friends with, and he was your wrestling mentor, probably kind of, you could say, your wrestling father, was Rod Price.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested, when you talk to Rod Price next, if he knew who Ron Wright was, and, you know, just to understand what the reach was of a guy like Ron Wright, because I don't think Rod ever fought in that area too much. Did he know about him?
There's a possibility by the time this airs that we would have actually had that conversation.
Okay.
Now that you say that, because I am supposed to, again, well, you know, you know how we do it here. I mean, I'm not trying to hide anything. We record these weeks out in advance. So this is being recorded on December the 16th. I am set to talk to Rod Price on December the 20th. Whatever Monday is, the 19th, December the 19th, I'm set to talk to Rod Price about some other things. We're going to talk some Gary Hart stories, maybe some Skandar Akbar stories for our regular BTT show.
But that would be a really nice. That would be a really nice segue. Hey, we're talking about these managers that don't get the national recognition that they do in Skandar Akbar and Gary Hart, but they get more than Ron Wright ever did. Do you know who, you know, and then lead into did he know who Ron Wright was?
Yeah, that would be cool to find out. I have no clue, and I mean, I never heard the name Ron Wright from him, so that would be something to jump into. But back to this promo. This is just fucking glorious in every single way you can ever imagine. Dirty White Boy weasels out of it. He's like, no, I can't go up there and do it. You know, I got to make sure my man's heart don't go out, and he's got to go take care of him, and that's why he's not going to whoop Primetime Brian Lee's ass right now. I mean, just a complete weasel way out of it. Again, you make your baby face look strong. You make your heel look like shit. WWE, pay attention, because you don't know how to fucking do this at all.
Mm-mm.
And that's my last comment about that.
Not a clue.
This promo was so good. I'm going to have to, you know, we've been playing the promos during the episodes. We're going to have to stick this one at the end. It's just, that's how great it is. This is just fabulous. You got any other thoughts before I move on to the next segment?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay, cool. So the next segment is the Batten Twins versus Joe Kazana and Scott Sandlin. Cotto and Dutch throw us to a promo where the Batten Twins are talking about the event tomorrow. That would have been tomorrow in Beckley, West Virginia. So it's airing the day before the Beckley, West Virginia card is actually taking place. So good positioning in how they do this promo here. The Battens are going to war against the heavenly bodies, as they say. I'll play the short promo at the end. It was good to me. They had a good job. They were trying to talk the people into the building, and you got to give them credit on that. Right after this, we go to the match again. It's the Battens and Kazana and Sandlin. I'm 100% sure this is the first time we've seen Scott Sandlin. Doc, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of information in my research on him. So if anybody out there has any information on Scott Sandlin and would like to share it, bother Mike and not me. I also thought that maybe the Battens and the Riches ought to have a contest where they each put up a fence and build a fence and then drink a six pack each and see who gets done first.
Okay. The Battens and the Riches are, to me, your mid card tag acts.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong. You gotta have that role. You gotta have that role. Nothing wrong.
And both teams are very capable in that role.
Well, and here's the other part too, Doc, that I don't mention as I say that. If you build them up appropriately, they could eventually be main eventers. They could. In the I say main eventers. They could eventually be top tag teams if you build them up. But you got to get that equity of them involved. I mean, people don't just start off at the top is my point.
Which is why it goes back to me saying at the beginning I liked them having Horowitz, is that you're building other people's in case you need them.
Exactly.
You're building the whole card instead of just the top two or three guys.
There you go. There you go. This match is everything that you'd expect with an established tag team versus what I would call a jobber tag team. It's not even 3 minutes long. The Batten Twins get the win, but we get some great commentary from Dutch. You talked about me texting you about Ron Wright, but I also texted you about this. They get into a discussion about being able to tell the Batten Twins apart. Bob Cottle says he can't tell them apart, but Dutch says, nah, I don't agree. I can tell them apart because one looks more mongoloid than the other.
Well, there's something you couldn't do in 2016.
Good God. He just called one of them a retard. And I say that not in a mean way, because I have a friend of mine whose daughter, she's...
has special needs.
Yes. So,
That's how you say it,
and
sir.
I have to say that because, you know, I mean, he's listened to me, and he's never said anything about it, but... I just have to say that. My point being,
so he doesn't get mad. He doesn't get mad when Harper uses the R word.
Well, he hasn't said anything to me, but I know he listens. So, and I'm sure he understands. We're just, it's part of the conversation, and it's part of the conversation.
And I'm not even down on Dutch for saying it, because to me, wrestling is the 1 hour where everything goes out the window.
Well, it's the same as a movie, man. You say shit like that in a movie, so you should be able to do it in wrestling. Is what I think. That's just my personal feelings on it.
Now, if John Cena comes out and does it, we got a problem.
Kind of, yeah. But anyway, so no, he says one looks more mongoloid than the other, which is code for one looks more retarded than the other. The finish was a nice missile drop kick off the top rope by one of the Battens onto Scott Sandlin, and the Battens get the win. Any thoughts on the match, Doc? Very quick one.
Nice little quick tag team match.
Yeah, I agree. We get a Bobby Foot. We go straight then from, and again, you know, you made the point a second ago. They're building up the Batten Twins. So how do you build them up? You throw them in with two guys that are going to get pinned, and that's just how you booked strategically and well back then. They then go to a phone interview followed by Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. This is kind of long, but I'll play it for you. So again, it's followed by Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, but it's Bobby Fulton and then Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies reacting to it. So let me hit the play button and we'll get started.
All right, fans, right now let's hear from Bobby Fulton in a telephone message recorded earlier about the condition of his brother Jackie.
You know, I want to thank Smoky Mountain Wrestling for giving me the opportunity to phone in and thank all those wonderful fans for the cards and letters over Jackie's injury. He went into the orthoscopic surgery. The doctor said he had cartilage damage and a partial ligament tear. Well, in about a week, we have been itching. We can't wait for this time, even though the doctor told Jackie to wait a while longer. Cornette and Heavenly Bodies, we have got some unfinished business with you fellas. You know, I tell you, the Fantastics have faced different Cornette teams in the past, but this team seems to be more vicious. Well, we're coming back this time to fight fire with fire. No more Mr. Nice Guys. Hey, we're going to get down and dirty, and hey, we're going to kick take names, and Cornette, you and your team can run, but you can't hide. This is a guarantee from the Fantastics. Like I said, Commissioner Bob Armstrong, we won't be responsible for our actions once we get Cornette and his Heavenly Bodies, Tom Pritchard, and Sweet Stan in the ring. It's going to be all over, brother, but the fighting. And I just can't wait to see Cornette and his men in the ring. We're going to do some serious damage.
Yeah, you got to do something, buddy. Come on over here. I'm sick of these rednecks.
All righty, fans. We're right here with the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. On, they're buddy. The Heavenly Bodies.
First of all, let me just tell you this. Tomorrow afternoon in Beckley, West Virginia, there ain't no man. Well, in fact, there ain't no men in Beckley, West Virginia anyway. But there certainly aren't any men going to wear these tag team belts. And next week in Morristown, Tennessee, whether it's the Fantastics, the Party Patrol, or anybody else you want to put against us, we're not losing these belts.
Are these some good-looking guys? You know, let me explain something. You see, the problem is the Fantastics are currently coming back to action. Jackie Fulton, his leg was injured. The knee is not quite well, but he's ignoring doctor's orders, and he's coming back to get in the ring with the Heavenly Bodies. As a result, I got to thinking, what would happen if the tragic incident befell Jackie Fulton? What would happen if his knee came all the way out next time? If he could never wrestle again? Well, you see, I got to thinking, maybe what he might do is he might do what you welfare cases out there do, what you rednecks do. When you realize you're a failure in life, you can't support your family, You sit back, you take welfare, you take food stamps, you live off the income taxes that successful people like the Heavenly Buddies and Jim Cornette pay.
You know what he's talking about.
But then I realized, yeah, you know, it's bad. I see the food stamps sticking out of your pocket.
Yeah.
But then I got to thinking, no, the Fultons are too proud. They'll want to work for their money. They'll want to earn it. So Jackie Fulton, when that knee comes out, next time we get in the ring, when that protective brace won't keep that knee in place when the Heavenly Bodies start working on it, and you're going to have to find you a new career because you ain't going to be no athlete no more, we got you a little present, and I think this will help you. I think it will enable you to earn your way in life and make a little money so you can hang this around your stinking, filthy, redneck hide. And you stand out on the street and you can say, I'm sorry, I gotta work for food because I can't wrestle no more because the Heavenly Bodies crippled me like the stinking redneck that I am. That's exactly what we're gonna do.
Fans, we'll be back. We'll have more right after this timeout.
Well, Doc, I'll let you go first. We got two of them here. We got Fulton and we got the Fantastic. We got the Heavenly Bodies.
Well, Fulton had a lot of fire and he had some nice, you know, light cussing sprinkled in, and he's telling them exactly what they're going to do and get their chips back, you know, when Jackie recovers from this bogus injury. But they're selling it good. Then we switch over to the Heavenly Bodies. My first note was, Jesus, Stan Lane looks ridiculous. And I'll just say, this wasn't my favorite Heavenly Bodies or corny promo, but they are establishing themselves as vicious heels and vicious champions, and I'm okay with that, and it's not like it's bad. It's just, you know, those guys are awesome, and this wasn't my favorite of theirs.
Well, you're not always going to hit a home run, even.
I do.
No, you don't. It's a fact, you don't. You realize that, right?
A fact?
Yeah, you don't.
You wouldn't know a fact if it slapped you in the face like the dicks you have slap you in the face.
I like the I will work for food sign that Cornette had up. And I got to just say this. I haven't gotten past Wallace Stanfield Lane's beaver pelt yet. It's still just slapping
me
in the face.
It's a problem.
Every time I watch Smoky Mountain, it's just bam. Like, God damn, Wallace, what are you doing?
It was the most unnecessary hair thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. You know, the other thing is too, what
I'm not talking wrestling. I'm talking about I've ever seen. Like, it was the most unnecessary that then turned into the worst.
That bad, huh?
Yeah.
It was not something to be proud of. But no, I love the promo. It feels like a quick healing from Jackie. It doesn't feel like the injury happened that long ago. And I like Cornette's line when he said he can see the welfare, the food stamp hanging out of somebody's pocket. For you young people out there listening, they were paper. They weren't a card. You actually had, I don't want to call it, it didn't look like a stamp, but you know what I'm saying, Doc. You actually got it.
No, I don't. I'm not as poor as you were.
You got a booklet, and it was like paper money almost. And yeah, so that was your food stamp back in the day. It wasn't just a card. So anyway, I thought this was a good promo. I was fine with it. It was good. Here's the problem with that promo more than anything. That shit followed Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy. And that was, you know, as good as Cornette is and as good as the Heavenly Bodies are, that's hard to follow.
Maybe so.
That was another part. You got anything else before I go to the next segment?
No, sir.
All right. So Bob Caudle sends us to a recap at the end of the Tim Horner and Buddy Landell match. They recap the finish where Horner defeats Landell. Landell busts Horner open after Horner got the 1-2-3 with the natural bridge. Buddy Landell rips the check up after assaulting Horner at the end of the match and stuffs it in Horner's mouth. And then we get they show that, and after they show that, Bob Caudle sends it to a promo. So let me hit the promo and we'll react to it.
Fans with us right now at ringside. Nature boy Buddy Landell, Buddy. The fans just saw what you did. You powdered Tim Horner. Then he beat you fair and square. Then you tried to shove the check right down his throat.
Well, first off, what happened was Tim Horner got down in his trunks and he tried to throw the powder in my face. Oh, but then I knocked it out of his hand. That plan backfired on him. Then we came out and I beat him fair and square. And then, well, what happened was, let me just tell you something, okay? Tim Horner got real lucky because I had a temperature of about 115. I'd already worked at Mayhem, worked about 90 times that night. Tim Horner's just griping about that $5,000 because he ain't never had $5,000 before in his life. He better be glad that he ain't out here right now, because if he was, I'd slap the taste right out of his mouth. I want to be in his nerves so bad he can't go to bed with his old lady at night. Hey, Tim, good buddy. Hey,
oh, and there is Tim Horner, and he slugs Buddy Landell, and right here. All right, fans, and here he is right now, White Lightning Tim Horner. Tim, this thing between you and Nature Boy Buddy Landell is going to be really serious.
It is serious, Mr. Cottle. First of all, I apologize for coming out here and disrupting TV, but he's got me so dadgum tore up, I don't know whether I'm going or coming. But I tell you what, Landell, I want you in the ring. I'll tell you what, I'll put that $5,000 up I won in Mountain Mayhem anytime, any place. Just get your butt in the ring.
All right, fans, that word right out of the mouth of White Lightning Tim Horner. Right now, let's go to the ring.
Okay, Doc, I played both of them back-to-back. There was a reason. I'll let you chime in on the first one, which is Buddy Landell, and then Horner's response after.
Well, Buddy's was fucking awesome. the 115 degrees, which is so illogical, it's ridiculous, popped me. What was the deal? He said he had worked 90 times that night, though. I didn't get that.
That made sense to me because, you know, we talked about how many matches they have in the tapings. Well, if you remember, that was the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal. That was in Harrogate, Tennessee at Lincoln Memorial. So he would have worked at least one other time that night. So that was a way of him exaggerating the fact that he had to work.
1 to 90?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what he did. That's what he did. The other way to play that, too, would have been, you know, and we're going back to the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal, would have been him not working and him sleazing his way as a heel into only having to work the Battle Royal.
Right.
Where everybody else had to work again and him still making excuses. But, yeah, I think that was just an exaggeration and a play on words.
Then you've got him getting about his wife, which brings Horner out. And when Horner comes out, when Buddy says, "Hey, Tim, good buddy."
Crack the fuck out of him. That was awesome.
Cool. That was hilarious.
That was great.
And my note here was, if this was Raw, that 2 minutes would have taken 23 minutes of talking to settle, and it wouldn't have been a satisfying one. It was over. And then they started brawling, and Horner. So my whole take here was, because they show up on the screen that one of the, when they were brawling around, one yes. of the mics gets unplugged. I was like, so wait a minute. They can pull the mic on a Horner brawl, but not on a Horner when he's singing Garth Brooks.
It was awesome in so many ways, man.
And you know, my note on Horner's promo is, short promos with personal issues keeps Horner out of the gutter and into the average range on promos. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's actually the case for almost all things when it comes to promos. Man, we're not here to talk. We're here to fucking, we mean business. And that was, I brought this up on, I'm trying to remember. I brought this up a couple weeks back on Booking the Territory. Where I said, you know, we sit out here, we get out here, we yap for 20 minutes on Monday Night Raw. And it's not just WWE. Sometimes the other promotions do it as well. We got out here, we start talking, and it's, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I've heard MSL say this before, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Fuck that. I'm about to whip your ass. You know, it's uncalled for. This man, look, he pops off with how Tim can't even please his wife. Because Buddy's in Tim's head. And Tim is like, you know what? Fuck this shit. We're not going to talk about this anymore. And he comes out and he cracks the shit out of him. And if you watch that punch, he fucking nailed him. If he didn't nail him, that was a great punch. Then we get the caption at the bottom of the screen. Notice, Tim Horner doesn't say one word during that exchange, in the fight exchange. He didn't come out there and say, "Hey, man, you better fucking slow your roll or I'm going to beat your ass." He just came out and fucked him up.
What could he possibly What could he possibly say that would have been more effective than what
There's
he did?
Nothing to talk about. You just talked about my wife. This was the whole thing I was talking about in response to that whole Rusev and Enzo exchange a few weeks ago before Rusev whipped his ass in the hotel room. The week before that, Enzo is talking about how Lana is thinking about Enzo stuffing his man meat in her turkey at Thanksgiving dinner, and Rusev is standing in the ring with his dick in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
No, man, go over there and start beating the fuck out of that dude. He's talking about your fucking wife. There's nothing to stand there and just look about. But you know what? I don't blame Rusev. I blame the bullshit fucking writers.
Well, Rusev's just doing what he was told to
just
do.
Doing what I'm told, boss.
Pay me, boss.
Bobby Blaze. Which looks stupid. Tim Horner doesn't do that here. He comes out and beats the shit out of, you know, starts whooping up on Buddy Landell. And then I thought his promo was good and quick, you know, when they came back. I didn't think that there was anything terrible there. Right now,
Smoky Mountain is putting Tim Horner in favorable positions to look as good as you're going to get out of him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought so, too. So anyway, I thought great exchange, great promo exchange between the two, great action between the two. I'm fine with it. We got a personal issue here, and let's just keep it going and see where it goes. So we go to the next match, which is Jimmy Golden versus Ben Jordan. Jimmy Golden and Jordan play some cat and mouse in the beginning with Jordan running and not letting Golden get a hold of him. This goes on for a while. Jordan also throws a drop kick that sends Jimmy Golden over the top ropes. Remember, over the top ropes is supposed to be automatic DQ. So Golden wants the victory since he went over the top, but referee says no, and the match continues because it was a move. It wasn't that he threw him over. He just happened to fly over it off the move.
You want a fun fact here?
Go ahead.
I don't know if we've talked about this before, but do you know or would you like to hazard a guess how old Jimmy Golden is right here?
No clue. I'll let you tell me.
Jimmy Golden is 41 years old right here.
Wow, he's the same age as me. That I am right now. God, that's crazy when
you're
think about it.
You're an old bastard.
Yeah, that's why I ain't flopping around a ring no more. Not that you don't have people 41 years old flopping around rings these days, but yeah, damn. I never knew that. All right, so let's get back to the match. As soon as Golden gets back in, he gets on top and starts working Jordan over. Dutch and Bob Cottle are having a discussion about Horner at this point. Dutch is definitely not too fond of the people from the Smoky Mountains. He's really laying it into them. We'll get back in, and then they finally get back to discussing the match. And Golden and Jordan do some nice old-school spots with Jordan getting a two-count on Golden with a backslide and a good crossbody onto Jimmy Golden that gets a two-count. But Golden puts an end to the Jordan barrage of offense when Golden hits Jordan with that beautiful patented drop kick of his. Jimmy Golden wins with a 1-2-3 on Jordan. Doc, your thoughts on the commentary and or match?
Drop kick came out of nowhere. 1-2-3, but
yeah,
no,
it was quick. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was just average match. You know, I mean, I don't know what else we can say about the match at this point. So we then go to, before we go to the next segment, I got a question for you. Did you notice the graphic as they went to commercial that said Dixie D explodes on Mr. Wonderful? Am I the only one that thinks that sounds like some 1980s porn movie title?
Well, if it was, it would be gay porn. And while I don't care what you do, I'm just not particularly interested in that. So I'm going to say no.
I'm not talking about gay porn. I took it as Dixie D being a woman.
Oh.
And you know how women, some of them can hit a gusher?
What?
Some of them will start.
No, I don't. Please explain.
Well, let's just say there are some women who are squirters from down below.
I don't. What?
Okay, maybe you don't understand it. But
what
anyway.
Happens? You mean they urinate?
No, they just start oozing.
Oozing?
They produce a lot of, let's not get into it. Never mind. That's a bad thing. But it did sound like some type of porn movie. Dixie D explodes on Mr. Wonderful. There you have it. Mm. Oh, and then we get, so let's go to the next segment. We get Bullet Bob and Bob Cottle. Bullet Bob is not happy with what happened to the Volunteer Slam, says Bob Cottle. Cottle also says that Mr. Wonderful feels like Bullet Bob has a personal issue with him and has it out for Mr. Wonderful. Bullet Bob in the exchange says, I don't have anything in for him, and Mr. Wonderful used a foreign object, so I fined him $500. But Primetime Brian Lee asked me not to suspend him because Primetime Brian Lee says he'll deal with Mr. Wonderful personally. Bob Cottle says, there you have it, straight from the mouth of Bullet Bob Armstrong. Doc, you got any thoughts on this segment?
Doc has no thoughts on that segment.
Yeah, basically, the thing was, Bullet Bob evidently could have suspended Mr. Wonderful for his actions at the Volunteer Slam. He only fined him $500 and chose not to suspend Paul Orndorff because Primetime Brian Lee would rather deal with him personally. Which, if you think about it, that makes sense because the babyface says, no, I don't want the cheap way out. I want to get my hands on that bastard. I want to lay some boots to him. So I was good with that. I mean, that's how you do it. Next match is Dixie Dynamite versus Paul Orndorff. Mr. Wonderful comes to the ring with no music. He's like, screw this shit. I'm coming out here to whoop some ass. And Dutch puts that over, saying that Mr. Wonderful is all business. He doesn't need music. During the match, Dutch claims that Commissioner Armstrong does have it out for Mr. Wonderful. Dutch makes a great argument here as a heel announcer, if you ask me. He says that it's bullshit that the pile driver is banned, but Dixie can use that stupid Confederate kick, which can cause damage through severe whiplash. Dutch also says he's got a pre-law background and pre-med background, and he's going to put his legal team on this issue to get it resolved. Get the pile driver being banned resolved, is what he's saying. Bob Cottle, as a straight man, sort of no-sells it, but does try to put over Dixie Dynamite as him and his little firecrackers taking off in the Smoky Mountain area. Doc, you got any thoughts on this before I proceed with the rest of the match?
It really kicked in to hear that Dixie Dynamite has replaced Tim Horner in Doc's doghouse. Before the match ever started, did you notice that the ring announcer, God, this guy looked like he probably played like keyboards in 38 Special or something. And I know you probably don't even know who 38 Special is, but I guarantee you some of our good listeners in the South will. So that's what, if you go back and look at that, the ring announcer looks like the kind of guy that would, again, play keyboards for a Southern rock band like 38 Special. I thought when Dutch said he was pre-law and pre-med, technically so am I. And my other note here up until this point of the match was Orndorff needs to go ahead and pile drive Dixie Dynamite and get this shit over with.
Yeah, but we all know that didn't happen. So it is what it is. Around minute mark 39 of the match, someone in the crowd yells, and I didn't see this until I saw it a second time when I was watching it earlier today. Someone in the crowd yells, he's on steroids! Assuming he's probably talking about Paul Orndorff. Did you hear that?
No.
You didn't hear any of that?
I didn't hear any of that.
Okay, I popped on it. I thought that was just great that was said, but whatever. We get back to the match. I love when Orndorff does that knee drop to the forehead, and I loved even more how Dixie Dynamite sold it. Dutch and Bob get back to talking about the banned pile driver. Boy, let me tell you, they are wearing this pile driver being banned in this match thin, but then Dutch hits us with a zinger, and it might be the zinger of zingers at this point. And keep in mind, he called one of the Batten Twins a fucking mongoloid earlier in the episode. So, Dutch says, wait a minute. Look at Dixie Dynamite. He's wearing a mask. Isn't that illegal? You can't wear a mask on the street, can you? Bob Cottle responds and says, as long as it's not a sheet, I guess you can. Doc, do you want to add to this exchange with?
Well, you remember last week when I told you that Bob Caudill wasn't at the Volunteer Slam because maybe he was off at a Klan rally and you got all upset about it. Well, Bob knows a little bit about what you can and can't do with a sheet on your head, apparently.
I'm at a loss for words here because, man, they're making references to the fucking Klan.
Well, we do know, based on some things we've heard, that the Klan was, and I want to be careful how I say this, they weren't involved with Smoky Mountain Wrestling,
right,
but they were in the audience sometimes.
Right, right. I'm glad you said that. They weren't involved, and you clarified. It's not like they were on payroll and Cornette liked them or whatever. It was, we've heard that they were in the crowds at a time or two, which, wow.
They're probably in the crowds at WWE too. Bunch of racist American motherfuckers.
Bob Caudle said, "As long as it's not a sheet, I guess you can." I'm at a loss for words, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So let's go to the finish of the match. Dixie hits Orndorff with a Confederate kick, but doesn't go for the pin. Dixie then goes to the top rope and hits a cross body, but rolls through it where Orndorff then rolls on top of him, gets a nice grab of the tights, and gets the pinfall, defeating Dixie Dynamite for the win. Doc, thoughts on the match overall before they take us to the last commercial of the week?
I want to say that Orndorff looked real crisp in the ring. Everything looks really good. And I thought Orndorff carried Dixie Dynamite to a pretty good match there.
Yeah, Orndorff is really great. I mean, there's no other way to say it. We go to then the last promo, which is Paul Orndorff promoing on the match. So let me cue it up and hit the play button.
Bob Armstrong is with the front office. Let's take it. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure that out. It's a conspiracy. Mr. Wonderful can't use his pile driver, but they can use DDTs, bulldogs, and everything else. Well, Brian Lee, the next time I get in the ring with you, I'm going to hurt you so bad that you won't be able to defend that belt.
Next week, fans, it'll be Brian Lee against Rip Rogers. We'll see you then. So long for now.
All right, Doc, what's your thoughts on Paul Orndorff's closing promo as Bob Caudle sends us home?
Well, he calls Bob Armstrong the establishment. I was like, man, Bob Armstrong ain't the establishment. He's just trying to make wrestling great again.
I thought that was fine. I liked it.
good short promo, and Orndorff is, you know, he can deliver one, so he knows what he's doing there, and it's solid. So, I mean, thumbs up.
Yeah, I agree too. He's got to put over the fact that there's this authority figure who he feels is putting the boots to him and fucking him over. And that's all that boils down to.
That's how that works.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's what I liked about that. All right, man, it's disability check time. Doc, I'm going to go 8 again.
Wow.
And I know I went 8 last week, and here's why I'm going to go 8. The thing about wrestling is, if there's one hot thing that happens in a show, especially a 45-minute show and not a 3-hour Raw, I can really sink my teeth into something and really enjoy it. And I just felt like that promo with Ron Wright, the Dirty White Boy, with Primetime Brian Lee involved, I just really enjoyed it. And then I got to give Tim Horner credit, coming out whipping Buddy Landell's ass after Landell cut that promo on him and about his old lady. And
maybe he wasn't mad about the old lady comment. Maybe he was mad that he got a dick-sweated check stuffed in his mouth.
That could have been the case. In any case, it's got personal issues, and that's what made me enjoy it. So I'm definitely going to go here with 8 checks again. I really was into this episode. I thought the promos were good. I thought, again, we maintained personal issues, and I thought that's a positive when it comes to wrestling, because you're giving me a reason to have an emotional investment and see what happens. What did you have?
Well, 8 checks is way too high to begin with.
You can blow me is what you can do.
You're an easy grader, and everybody gets a trophy in your world, and I can see why you are who you are based on how you grade these episodes. But I will give you credit that most of the stuff you said was right, and I agree with it. So, you know, again, lots of good stuff going on. These feuds are starting to really get themselves going, and that always makes an hour of wrestling more fun to watch. I'm going to say 6.4 on the disability checks, though, just because I'm realistic here.
You suck.
I could really go for some sweet government cheese, though.
Yeah, we got to give out the government cheese award brought to us by our listener, Shard Johnson.
You make it sound like we only have one listener.
No, it just was a great idea that he decided to throw into the episodes, and I'm really, really liking it. Who's your government cheese award this week?
Well, I'm going to give it to that dare government cheese to that dare guy, damn Ron Wright.
Well, we're going to have the same person then. I mean, come on, man. We talked about it ad nauseum earlier in this episode. That fucking promo was awesome. He's holding his, and it, like, you're hearing the words. Hopefully you're watching along with us. He's holding his chest. He's doing the Fred Sanford. He's wound up. My heart can't handle it, brother. I can't handle it, man. I can't see you going in there whooping that man right now. My heart just can't handle it, brother. Please. I mean, they did us wrong up there at that slam. I'm filing a grievance and a complaint again. And, bro, it don't get no better than that. That's wrestling. That's Southern wrestling at its finest. Good. Ron Wright.
Hey, so, but again, all in all, good episode. And, hey, we are done with number 19. So we're out of the teens here. We are now flipping into the 20s, and we've got a little problem that we need to talk to the people about out there in the BTT universe. So do you want to explain to them what our little snag or bump in the road here is?
Yes, shortly. First, if you are a first-time listener to this and really enjoy what we're doing, check out our Book in the Territory show that drops every single Thursday night. We're really talking a lot more classic wrestling these days on the show. We had on Bo James recently on the show a few weeks back. Bo James talked a lot about Ron Wright. We also took a bunch of listener questions for Bo. So I think you'd really, really enjoy the episode that we had with Bo James. As he talks about some stuff that went on in this area of the country related to the history of professional wrestling. So if you like this show, I'm sure you would enjoy listening to Bo James on our regular Book in the Territory show. So subscribe to us. Rate us on iTunes. We'd appreciate it. Give us a 5-star review. Go back in and check mark or mark the reviews that are good too with a yes. We'd appreciate that. You can subscribe whether it's Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, or TuneIn Radio. We are on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper, he isn't on this show, so I'm not going to plug his Twitter. And thanks to our sponsor, The Wrestling Palace. We appreciate all that you do for the shows that we do. And Doc, I think that's it. No, it's not it. Hey, if you enjoy the show, help us out. We got this thing called PayPal. We'd really appreciate if you gave us a buck or two. You don't have to, but if you really like this free show that we do each and every week for you, it would really mean a lot to us. So use the PayPal link if you can. Also, check out our Pro Wrestling Tee store. Everyone that has bought a Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt has told me they love it. It's a black design, got a gray logo on it, or a whitish gray type logo. It's not your typical wrestling podcast t-shirt. I mean, there's no ring on it, but I think when you see it, you'll really like it. So please check out our Pro Wrestling Tee store. There's a couple of ways to get to it. One of them is going to facebook.com/bookintheterritory, click the shop now button. The other way is go to mikemills.podbean.com, and the Pro Wrestling Tees link is at the very top. That's where our PayPal link is at as well. So, Doc, to clarify what you said, we do have a bit of a problem. It seems that Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 20 is not on YouTube, and based on some of the comments I'm reading, it looks like the WWE cannibalized it and had it removed. So the issue is, since there's no episode 20, we need to find out a way to address that. Well, the way we will tackle this is we are going to cover the results, not in great detail, but in a synopsis of what happened on that episode. So we will talk about who won, who lost, and things that occurred, because we do have some information on it. But we will do that with episode 21. So next week's episode review, while we'll discuss episode 20, it won't be a deep discussion on 20. It'll be the results of 20, and then we'll jump into episode 21. Doc, did that summarize it well, or you need to add to it?
I really wasn't listening.
Okay.
Well, what are we doing?
Episode 20.
We don't have it.
I know. I was telling the people how we're going to basically talk about the results of it, but we won't.
Quickly.
Yeah, we won't really get into a deep dive of it because it was pulled off of the internet.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say about that. And that was it. That's all I was rattling off while you were reading your phone and not listening to me.
Sorry.
Anything else before we get out of here, Doc?
I don't think so.
All right. So we will catch you next week. Please check out our Thursday show that we do each and every week. But we will catch you next week on our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast recaps. I'm not sure where we're at once we jump in with episode 21. But for Mike and Doc, you know what we always say when we get out of here and play whatever promos we haven't already played this week? Book it, bitch. Please disregard what you just heard from Doc and I related to next week's episode, which is episode 20 from June the 13th of 1992. Thanks to longtime listener of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast, Riley Arnwine was able to find it, and he found it on Daily Motion. So if you just search Smoky Mountain Wrestling, June 13th, 1992 on Daily Motion, you should be able to find the next week's episode that we'll be reviewing, which is episode number 20. So thank you, Riley Arnwine, for the notice. Disregard what Doc and I said regarding that episode and us not being able to find it. So you will get a full review and recap of episode 20 from Smoky Mountain Wrestling, June the 13th, 1992, next week. Enjoy the remaining promos that we have. And I think I even put all the rest of them at the end of this episode, along with some of the commentary that Bob and Dutch left us with on episode number 19. So catch you next week for, yes, it will be a full episode 20 review from June the 13th of 1992. Thank you all for tuning in, and as you know, we always say, book it, bitch.
Hi, wrestling fans. Welcome to another action-packed hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. I'm Bob Caudle, and we got a great hour in store for all you wrestling fans this week. In action, we're going to see the new Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, Primetime Brian Lee, right here. Also, the Dirty White Boy, the Batten Twins, are going to be here. And Jimmy Golden. Also, we'll take a look at that controversy between Tim Horner and Buddy Landell. And our main event, it's going to be a great one, Dixie Dynamite against Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. And right here with me, as always, here's my tag team partner, the Dirty One himself, Dutch Mantell.
Well, first of all, I know for a purity fact that Commissioner Bob Armstrong tried to suspend Paul Orndorff over what happened at the Volunteer Slam. Now, Orndorff's in our main event today, and I am wondering what Commissioner Bob Armstrong is going to do to try to hamper Mr. Orndorff this afternoon.
Wait a minute. I got something to say right now and right here. Cottle, I don't want you in this conversation. I want a real journalist and a wrestler, athlete. Right, yes, Dutch, I want to tell you and the Smoky Mountain viewing area, I am not, I emphasize, a loser. I'm a winner. And I'm Bad Boy Barry Horowitz, and you people are going to find out the hard way. Now, Dutch, who am I wrestling today?
You're wrestling Primetime Brian Lee.
Primetime Brian Lee, the new heavyweight champion. Good. So that means if I defeat him, I'm the new heavyweight champion.
In my book, you'd be the champion.
No, it does not work that way.
Just a minute. Bug off, all right? First of all, you're looking at the new heavyweight champion, because I'm going to defeat Brian Lee, and defeat him I will royally, 1, 2, 3. Do you know why? Because I'm a winner, not a loser.
Good. I guess you heard that. Take it to him, Barry.
I heard that, and of course all the fans did too. It remains to be seen. We'll see that right now, fans. Let's go to the ring.
And look, when he got with that dropkick, when a man that big and that powerful dropkicks you, Dutch, you go down, man.
Well, most people go down. I don't go down. I just bat their feet right out of the way and keep on churning.
Well, Horowitz had him stacked up.
I'm like Timex, you know. I can take a licking and keep on ticking.
Keep on ticking and coming back to you. This is Brian Lee now with a headlock on Horowitz. Horowitz is going to back into the ropes.
I have said the whole time, all I believe Barry Horowitz needs. Oh, bad mistake, Barry. Bad mistake. But you see, you know why things like that happen, just like that, because Brian Lee outsmarted him. Brian Lee shouldn't be able to outsmart a caterpillar, really, because if his IQ goes any lower, I think we'd have to water him 3 times a day. Now, I think he's... the state of Florida declared him legally stupid several months ago. I think I told the fans that. But all Barry Horowitz needs is the right direction, somebody to channel that energy in the right direction.
Well, fans, and that's just a small portion of what this young man went through to win this championship. And, Brian, right now you've got at least 2 scores to settle.
You know, Bob, 2 scores is an understatement. You know, every time I walk to the ring, it seems like Paul Orndorff or Dirty White Boy, you're on my back. You know, I can never wrestle one at a time. But I'll tell you one thing. No matter what it takes, where I go, or how far I have to go to do it, I will keep this belt. And when I won this belt, it was the longest night of my life. And I guarantee you one thing, Orndorff. You and White Boy, when you step in the ring, it's not more good games. You underestimated me before, but 6'8", 280 pounds, I'm not playing. So if I have to get dirty White Boy, and if I have to get wonderful, Mr. Wonderful, that's just what I'm going to do, because I'm going all the way to the top, and I'm going to keep this belt.
All right, fans, the young man always lives up to his word. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
Fans, let me tell you about something that we're excited about coming to many of the matches in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area. It's called Meet the Stars Autograph Party, and this is going to be great for all you fans. You come to the matches, you'll have a chance to meet some of your favorite wrestlers, take their pictures, and get their autographs. So whenever you hear of a Meet the Stars party in your hometown, be sure you come out. That's something you don't want to miss. You'll have an opportunity to see them, to meet them, to talk to them, and to get their autographs. So it's something, don't forget, Meet the Wrestler party when the fans come out.
Tommy Angel, let's go right now to Bob Caldo standing by with the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright.
All right, and fans, here with me at ringside, they are, of course, Mr. Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. We've already had an opportunity to talk to primetime Brian Lee, and I know he's heavy on your mind also.
Now, let me tell you something. I've never been so mad and disgusted. My heart's bothering me a little. I'm going to try not to get excited, but I have never seen anybody robbed in my life like my man got robbed in that slam over there the other night in them tournament matches. They robbed him. They give him a three count, and it shouldn't have been but one count. And I'll tell you, there'd have been a lot more going on then, but it had my heart acting up. I had a light stroke, and the man had to get me out of there. It's the only reason that down, and I want to tell you something else. You can inform Mr. Bob Armstrong that I'm filing a complaint and a grievance for compensation against him for having an employer there as that referee to rob me and my man like that and cause me to have this back set and stroke. They're probably keeping me in this wheelchair another year or two over the tactics and robbed on us the way they did over there in that match.
Lee says you he's got a score
right
to settle with you.
This man doesn't lie. Brian Lee, you are the biggest crook, the biggest cheat that's ever walked the face of the earth. I'd like to know exactly how much you did pay those referees. Well, it don't matter because me and you meet up again. You horse-headed. You non-athlete. You nothing happening individual. You couldn't lace my boots. You couldn't eat. You don't even deserve to be in the same building with myself and Ron Wright. You understand me? Look at horsehead himself.
I tell you what, Tony Anthony, Dirty White Boy, if you say I cheated you and Ron Wright, you're so upset, won't you get in the ring right now? Wait, you want to take that heavyweight belt?
I don't think my heart could stand you getting up there and whooping on him right now. We ain't got nothing to win. My heart's acting up on me so bad. I just don't know whether we could take care of it or not.
You okay?
I'm all right, but I don't know whether I could extend the excitement you going up there annihilating that man
okay
here today or not. I'm not recuperated from that stuff the other week.
Let me tell you something, horsehead. If this man wasn't sick right now, I'd be up there in a minute to beat your sticking brains out, but I gotta take care of my manager. That's the only thing that's saving you.
You all right?
All right, fans, the story from Mr. Ron Wright, the Dirty White Boy, and you heard the challenge from Brian Lee. We'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this time out.
Fans, one of the teams is hot on the trail of the tag title holders by the one that's held by Jim Cornette's Heavenly Bodies. That's the Smoky Mountain Tag Team title, or Bart and Brad, the Batten Twins. Now, before we see them in action, let's hear these words from the natives of Mount Hope, West Virginia.
Tomorrow afternoon, Beckley, West Virginia, Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, you've got to come back to our backyard, where our friends are, where our families are, where you talk a lot of trash. But it's not going to happen the same way it happened the last time. We're not coming to wrestle. We're coming for a total war, a war that's going to make the Hatfields and McCoys look like a Sunday church social.
Did he say Mount Hope, West Virginia?
Mount Hope, West Virginia.
You know, I believe if I was from West Virginia, I wouldn't show my face anywhere or actually tell people I would be from West Virginia. There's just something about that state that doesn't agree with me.
Well, I tell you, already you've been on Tennessee. You're all over the mountains. You wouldn't have anything to do with West Virginia.
Well, that is true.
I don't know. Pretty soon.
You know, if I was born in West Virginia, you know what would be the first thing I'd look for? A Rand McNally roadmap, find my way to the state line. I'd just get right on out of there. So,
tell me something. What do you think of Brian Lee?
I think he's an opportunist. I cannot believe that he came out here and tried. I believe if Ron Ryder got close to the ring, he would almost try to kill a convalescent patient.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. He's like
double
that
clothesline.
He
That's hogwash.
Now, he sit here and heard Ron Wright tell him, straight to his face. What is he, Helen Keller or something?
You know,
can he hear? First of all, Ron Wright told him he was sick, he had heart problems, and then he still told him to come to the ring.
You know, the only person that would have got hurt if he'd gotten in the ring, that would have been the Dirty White Boy.
Ah, fool. I'm going to tell you what, when Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff, I tell you what they're going to do to Brian Lee. They're going to whoop him like he stole a government mule. That's how they're going to whoop him.
Well, that was an arm drag, but it almost came over the shoulder right there by one of the bat. And I got to tell you, Dutch, I can't tell the bat is apart. Double elbow.
Well,
that was Scott Sandlin.
That's Brad in there.
All right.
We'll no, that's him. Bart.
That's Bart. Okay.
No, that
you
might
can't
be Brad.
Tell them apart either.
Well,
though,
I can too. I'll get it right in a minute. They have certain characteristics.
They're going to tag. They're going to double team.
One looks a little more mongoloid than the other one.
All right, fans, right now, let's hear from Bobby Fulton in that telephone message recorded earlier about the condition of his brother, Jackie.
You know, I want to thank Smoky Mountain Wrestling for giving me the opportunity to phone in and thank all those wonderful fans for the cards and letters over Jackie's injury. He went into the orthoscopic surgery. The doctor said he had cartilage damage and a partial ligament tear. Well, in about a week, we have been itching. We can't wait for this time, even though the doctor told Jackie to wait a while longer. Cornet and Heavenly Bodies, we have got some unfinished business with you fellas. You know, I tell you, the Fantastics have faced different Cornet teams in the past, but this team seems to be more vicious. Well, we're coming back this time to fight fire with fire. No more Mr. Nice Guys. Hey, we're going to get down and dirty, and hey, we're going to kick take names, and Cornet, you and your team can run, but you can't hide. This is a guarantee from the Fantastics. Like I said, Commissioner Bob Armstrong, we won't be responsible for our actions once we get Cornet and his Heavenly Bodies, Tom Pritchard, and Sweet Stan in the ring. It's going to be all over, brother, but the fighting, and I just can't wait to see Cornet and his men in the ring. We're going to do some serious damage.
Yeah, you better do something, buddy. Come on over here. I'm sick of these rednecks.
All righty, fans, we're right here with the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
On,
they're
buddy.
The Heavenly Bodies.
First of all, let me just tell you this. Tomorrow afternoon in Beckley, West Virginia, there ain't no man. Well, in fact, there ain't no men in Beckley, West Virginia anyway, but there certainly aren't any men going to wear these tag team belts. And next week in Morristown, Tennessee, whether it's the Fantastics, the Party Patrol, or anybody else you want to put against us, we're not losing these belts.
Are these some good-looking guys? You know, let me explain something. You see, the problem is the Fantastics are currently coming back to action. Jackie Fulton, his leg was injured. The knee is not quite well, but he's ignoring doctor's orders, and he's coming back to get in the ring with the Heavenly Bodies. As a result, I got to thinking, what would happen if the tragic incident befell Jackie Fulton? What would happen if his knee came all the way out next time? If he could never wrestle again? Well, you see, I got to thinking, maybe what he might do is he might do what you welfare cases out there do, what you rednecks do. When you realize you're a failure in life, you can't support your family, you sit back, you take welfare, you take food stamps, you live off the income taxes that successful people like the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette pay.
You know what he's talking about.
But then I realized, yeah, you know, it's bad. I see the food stamps sticking out of your pocket.
Yeah.
But then I got to thinking, now the Fultons are too proud. They'll want to work for their money. They'll want to earn it. So Jackie Fulton, when that knee comes out, next time we get in the ring, when that protective brace won't keep that knee in place when the Heavenly Bodies start working on it, and you're going to have to find you a new career because you ain't going to be no athlete no more, we got you a little present, and I think this will help you. I think it will enable you to earn your way in life and make a little money. So you can hang this around your stinking, filthy, redneck hide, and you stand out on the street, and you can say, I'm sorry, I gotta work for food, because I can't wrestle no more, because the Heavenly Bodies crippled me like the stinking redneck that I am. That's exactly what we're gonna do.
Fans, we'll be back. We'll have more right after this timeout. Fans, right now, let's take a look back to last week. Tim Horner met Buddy Landell with a $5,000 Mountain Mayhem check on the line. Well, Tim Horner won the battle, but he lost the war. Let's take a look at that right now, what happened when they met. Well, Landell came back with a knee. Horner now right behind. Is he going to roll him up? No, Landell holds the ropes. He's going to come right back again. This time he's going to get him. He's got him rolled up. Look at that bridge. Yes, sir, he does.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the match and the
fans, is the winner over Nature Boy Buddy Landell.
Hey, it's not over yet.
It's not over as Landell comes after him, throws him right through the ropes, comes after him. Now they're down out of the ring onto the floor. Look at Horner with his head, stand to the ring coach. Landell wants blood for that money. Looks like he's trying to take $5,000 out of the hide of Horner. With Horner in the ring now, stomping at him. Look, he's already got his head busted.
Yeah, he opened
him
up.
Continuing to stomp and kick away at Tim Horner. Buddy Landell. Landell has lost the match, but he says he's not going to lose the war, and that's what he's doing right now.
And he's got the money back. Is that the money laying on the mat there?
That's the check.
The check?
That's the envelope and the check. He picks him up and slams him hard to the mat. The match is over, fans. It is over. Tim Horner had pinned Buddy Landell. Tim Horner is the rightful owner of the $5,000. A referee. The
referee's leaving the ring.
He hasn't been able to stop this. They're bringing home. Landell's tearing up the check. Landell is just
tore up the check.
Landell has got the check out of here. He's putting it into the mouth.
Well, that's where it belongs.
He's cramming it right down his throat.
Tim Horner's got a big fat mouth anyway.
Fans with us right now at ringside. Nature Boy Buddy Landell, buddy. The fans just saw what you did. You powdered Tim Horner. Then he beat you fair and square. Then you tried to shove the check right down his throat.
Well, first off, what happened was Tim Horner got down in his trunks and he tried to throw the powder in my face. But then I knocked it out of his hand. That plan backfired on him. Then we came out and I beat him fair and square. And then, well, what happened was, let me just tell you something, okay? Tim Horner got real lucky because I had a temperature of about 115. I'd already worked at Mayhem, worked about 90 times that night. Tim Horner's just griping about that $5,000 because he ain't never had $5,000 before in his life. He better be glad that he ain't out here right now, because if he was, I'd slap the taste right out of his mouth. I want to be in his nerves so bad he can't go to bed with his old lady at night. Hey, Tim, good buddy. Hey.
Oh, and there is Tim Horner, and he slugs Buddy Landell. And right here... All right, fans, and here he is right now, White Lightning Tim Horner. Tim, this thing between you and Nature Boy Buddy Landell is going to be really serious.
It is serious, Mr. Cottle. First of all, I apologize for coming out here and disrupting TV, but he's got me so dadgum tore up, I don't know whether I'm going or coming. But I tell you what, Landell, I want you in the ring. I'll tell you what, I'll put that $5,000 up I won in Mountain Mayhem anytime, any place. Just get your butt in the ring.
Fans with me right now, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner Armstrong, I understand there were several things that really upset and bothered you at the Slam, and they revolved around Paul Orndorff, but I also understand that Mr. Wonderful thinks you've got it in for him.
Well, that seems to be the case, but I haven't got it in for Paul Orndorff. He broke the rules. As commissioner, I stepped in and I corrected the situation. He used a foreign object. I fined him $500. I hadn't got it in for him, but one thing about it, Primetime Brian Lee asked me not to suspend him, and I said I wouldn't. Primetime can take care of it himself.
All right, fans, and that's the story right out of the mouth of Commissioner Bob Armstrong on Dixie Dynamite.
Wait a minute. Look at Dixie Dynamite. He's wearing a mask, right? Isn't that illegal? You can't wear a mask out on the street, can you?
As long as it's not a sheet, I think you can.
No, I don't think so. Going back to my pre-law background, that's illegal also. See,
here's Horndorff now.
Yes, it is.
Out of the ring, onto the top rope, down he comes.
Bob Armstrong is with the front office. Let's take it. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure that out. It's a conspiracy. Mr. Wonderful can't use his pile driver, but they can use DDTs, bulldogs, and everything else. Well, Brian Lee, the next time I get in the ring with you, I'm going to hurt you so bad that you won't be able to defend that belt.
Next week, fans, it'll be Brian Lee against Rip Rogers. We'll see you then. So long for now.